Yeah, I mean, what's it? You live around here?
Yeah.
I mean, what's it like to see a whole block like this just boarded up?
It looked terrible. Like, hey man, we could do better than this. When I first moved around here, it was not no old houses around here. And now you look at it, everywhere you look is an old house. Like, it's the whole block around the corner, the whole side is abandoned. The whole block up there abandoned. This whole side abandoned. Like, it's crazy.
How many years is it for you here now?
Like 15.
So over the course of 15 years, what are the changes you see that brought this to fruition with all these abandoned houses? What happened?
Like, letting the community go. Like, you see less and less people. Like, it's sad.
So people have been moving out and taking the resources they had with them.
Yeah. Like, taking everything. Like, at least to fix it up so people can move back in the neighborhood. Like, they don't even want to fix it back up for the people to move back in.
How much neglect do you feel like the city has given to places like this?
A lot of neglect. Look what they had to do. Look what they had to do to Freddie for them to start fixing the projects up. A man had to die for them to start paying attention to the projects. Like, it's crazy.
And do you think that sort of neglect and only listening when sort of extreme things happen is in part what drove the rioting on April 27th?
Yes.
Can you speak a little bit about, you know, trying to make a living in a neighborhood like Sandtown over the course of 15 years as people are moving, houses are just getting boarded up instead of new people coming in? Speak about that, navigating an environment like that for 15 years.
Man, it's been hard for me. 15 years, it's been hard. Like, basically, they don't even want us to come outside around here. Like, if we come outside, you gonna go to jail. Like, it's sad, man. Like it's just sad. Like, you can't do nothing. Like, my whole 15 years, I've probably been on the street a year and a half, like, straight. Like, this is long, like, because they took all our wrecks. We ain't got no wrecks to go in, so we ain't got no other choice but to come sit on the step or do something. We've been born and raised around here, so why we can't sit on our own step? Why we can't stand on our neighbor's front? We can't do nothing, because all the fronts is abandoned, as you can see, so wherever we stand at, it's going to be an abandoned front, so we can't stand nowhere because y'all not trying to fix the houses up. Or, like, yeah, we're going to lock us up for trespass or loitering. We're going to keep telling us move. But where we going to move at? Everywhere we move at is a abandoned house. So it's crazy.
And does that make you feel like you're not even viewed as a resident of your own neighborhood?
Yeah. But then they want us to vote. They want us to do this, do that, but they don't want to do nothing for us. Like, it's crazy.
And then you mentioned about, you know, if you're just out in the street, you're just going to be locked up. I mean, what does that do to you when you feel like prison is inevitable? Does it change the way that you view, say, something like illegal activity if you feel like I'm probably going to end up there anyway?
Yeah. Like, basically, like, if you do anything, you're going to end up locked up for some petty stuff that ain't even worth it.
Lack of opportunities. It's lack of opportunities in our neighborhood. And I feel as though the only way, sad to say, it's like the only thing they would believe out if something happened to somebody inside of an old house. Like, God forbid, if somebody take a child in there and sexual assault, then our voices will be heard. Then they be trying to make a difference. So what, if we see it as a problem now, why not take care of the problem before it happened?
What message does that send about the value of your lives when it takes something that extreme for someone to even just pay attention? Not even to do something, just to, like, look up.
Yeah. We telling you ahead of time before it happened, why not listen? Why wait till the last minute and then it happened and then do something about it? When we asking y'all for y'all help now before it even get that way. And then when it do happen, then they want to say something about it. When we've been a voice in our opinion for the stuff to get fixed.
And do you feel like when they finally do say something about it, that the conversation is constructive, or do you feel like it's not even that?
Like, you know, it's not even that. Like, when we say something about it now, it's just going one ear out the other ear. Like, they ain't listening to us.
I feel like a lot of people just probably reach out at the time for publicity or when the camera's rolling. But we don't need anybody to work that's when the camera's on. We need somebody to be here when the camera's off. Come out and listen to us and let us voice our own opinion. This is our neighborhood. We are residents. Come out and get our input and make a change.
And then let me just ask, what do you see as the biggest challenges facing a neighborhood like Sandtown?
What's the biggest challenge?
Or it could be a number, you know, whatever comes to your mind.
The biggest challenge, man. All I need, this is what they need, really need to do, man, is get that police station under control. That's what they really need to do. Like, this is not a bad community. Like, I just wish they just fix this community back up, man. I just wish they just do, like, just fix the community back up.
And I feel as though the officers, they're not from our neighborhood. They're not from, half of them probably live in the counties. But if you don't give us no respect, how do you think we're going to respect y'all? Like you were just saying, every time we move, it's a vacant house or a corner we lure them. So it's like, we're going to fall victim. We're going to fall into that trap. They never say, oh, we got $40,000 to fix these houses up or this, that. They can say we don't have no money, but they can spend millions and millions of dollars to build a new jail. So I just feel like our opinion, they just don't care about us. And it's like, we just a statistic out here. We just a number.
Basically. It don't take much, because we'll come together and help them build the houses. Like, they got the YO program around the corner. They was building houses at one time. Now they stopped them from doing it.
And they start habitat.
So, doing it. Like, people was coming together, like, volunteering their work to help build back the community. But the programs that was doing it, they just stopped.
And I feel as though...
They just taking away from us.
And... if we could get them type of things back, it would change our output, young people output in the community, make them want to go to school, learn a trade, make them want to get a job, get everybody job opportunities, and then make youth and make us have unity and dignity in our neighborhood.
It's coming up. It was at least 2 Boys and Girls Clubs in each neighborhood. Now it's not one, and no neighborhood, it's not one rec, it's not nothing. It's not even a camp around here no more. So what the little kids got to do but come to the streets? They ain't got nothing else to do but come to the streets. They done took everything away from them.
And it's like, I feel like they took our rights from us. We don't have the rights no more. Now they passed a law that they can search our houses without a warrant. So it's like, we don't got no rights. We living in slavery.
When they passed that law?
It was I saw it on social media. So it's like, and then when we was coming out, camp was like $50 for the whole summer. Now camp, $125 a week. A week.
I just paid $800 for my
daughter. Some things got to change immediately.
Like, it was free camp, free lunch. They don't even do free lunch no more in the summertime. From the early 70s till the early 90s, it was free lunch every summer. Look at it now. Ain't none of the kids got nowhere to go out to get free lunch or nothing. Like, it's sad. It's nothing. Like, when we was coming up, we had an opportunity either to sell drugs or go to camp or play. It was your choice. Now, these kids don't have no choice these days. They just forced to come out on the streets. But that's all they see. It's people on the street for. That's what they going to do. If they had somewhere to go and occupy their time, they wouldn't do this. Because we had an opportunity to occupy our time, or at least we chose to do what we wanted to do. This generation coming up now, they forced the door because that's all they see is this. So it's bad. But, like, if you go out in the counties, they still got all that stuff out there. They still got wrecks. They still got stuff going on for the kids. The city, they ain't got nothing.
I feel as though if we get somebody that can support us, we willing to stick together as a community, and we can support each other. We don't mind coming together, but we got to come together for a purpose, a mission, a goal. We get our support. We get our community together. They come out and talk to us, and we can action speak louder than the words.
Let me just ask a couple of questions about the policing that you guys brought up. What would respectful policing look like to you? What does that mean to you when you say they need respect?
First, when I was coming out, we had police officers coming to our school that was called Officer Friendly. So when we was coming out, we used to play basketball, go to the police station, play basketball, recreation, and all that. Now, it's no Officer Friendly, so every kid, they look at the police, they scared of the police, they don't respect them, they think the police bad because... what happened to the officer friendly is the things they had in school. So, isn't the gun.
We shouldn't fear the police if they're here to protect us. Why are we fearing the police and they're here to protect us? Like, that's crazy. Like, we should be happy to see them. We shouldn't fear the police when we see the police get scared. Like, that's crazy. If y'all here to protect us, why when we see y'all, we got to get scared? Like, we get nervous and all that. That's backwards.
Do you think that relationship can change while the police department is still focused on prosecuting the war on drugs?
It can change, but I don't. They should do a better, like, just like they when we get locked up and stuff, they send us to a treatment, like, to see if we psych you out, you evaluate to go back out in the streets to see if anything wrong with us, see if we crazy. Why they not putting them through that? Because they had problems themselves, and when they had problems, they come to work and eventually take it out on the people, and that's wrong. Like, if we got to go through it, or to see if we could come back out on the street, why they can't do it? And they working for the city. Like, they could have a problem at home. They going to come to work and take it out on somebody. Like, just for, like, then they get bonuses for each arrest they get. Like, that's crazy. How can you get a bonus for locking another man up? Like, election day come, they get an extra bonus if they get a certain amount of quota off the street. Like, that don't make sense. So now they going to come out here and talk to any black man. They lock up because they're getting an extra bonus on their check. Like, that's crazy. Like, I never heard of that. Like, that's real crazy. And, like, so they forcing the officers to do that. Because now you telling me, like, I could get an extra bonus if I lock this amount of people up. So what you think I'm on my mind when I come to work? I'm going to try to get this amount of rest before I go home. And now you're going to lock a person up for anything just to get that little bonus on your check. And that's crazy.
Do you want to add to that?
What was the question again?
What does respectful policing look like to you?
Honestly, I don't even... Well, back then, I can't... Right now... first of all, they try to treat us like animals. You approach. So if they approach us negative, we're gonna be offended, and we're going to give them the same attitude they give us. So your approach and your presentation play a big character.
It's not all polices. It's a handful of them, but it's some of them over there that you still could get around to, but they not going to out their self from them. Like, they feel as though it's wrong, but they not going to tell their other officers that it's wrong because they don't want to have something against a coworker. Mm-hmm. Just like the other officer, I think he retired, the one that's telling everything about the police station now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he worked in Western District, mm-hmm. and he's seen all the corrupt stuff was going on in there. Now he a voicing his. Now he's speaking his word about everything that was going on in there. How they was talking to the young kids and all that. Like, and I wish I want to see them push that. I want to see them go forward with that investigation on that. Cause like that said, even another officer had to. He finally realized to step up and like, man, this not right. If another officer could see, how many more officers in there to see the same thing he's seeing? But they scared to voice their opinion because. They don't want to lose their job. They don't want to be they blackballed, whereas though it's going to be hard for them to get another job or nothing. They scared. They can't do nothing. So, but I like what he's doing. He's speaking his word. And I guarantee you they're going to do something to mess that man's career up.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're referring to Michael Wood, right? The guy who's been on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's luckily retired. Or he left the force, so yeah.
He had to wait till he retired to do that. If he ain't retired, if he'd have done it while he was still working... It'd have messed that man's career up. So he had to wait till he retired. And he still looked young, so he forced himself to retire early to speak his word. Because he ain't had no rights to speak his word while he was working. Or if he'd have spoken while he was working, they'd have brung anything up on for him to get fired. And once he got fired from a state job, it's hard to get another state job. Like, they're going to put you through hell. So that man's still young, and he forced himself to retire at an early age.
You hear a lot about the need for persons living in communities throughout Baltimore to, you know, cooperate with the police. We need your help. But when the police do dirt, they don't exactly cooperate with the investigation, right? Is that part of the problem? Is that as long as they're so willing to protect themselves, even when they're doing wrong things in the community, it continues to create that wall between them and the community?
Yes.
That's like... How can you want us to do anything or saying when y'all doing the same thing? You practice what you preach. And Officer Bass, I read an article where he was a cop in another somewhere else and got locked up for domestic violence. But then they bring him in Owl City. How can he run Owl City? how can he run out of city? And he was a suspect himself. I mean, I believe in second chances, but certain situations, I feel like certain situations when whoever the person involved, I feel like it get annoyed and swept under the carpet, swept under the rug.
I mean, that has to be, I think, frustrating, because just like you were describing earlier, right? Like, you navigate a world where you could be sitting on a step and now you're in handcuffs, but you have people who do fucked up shit. Like, you know, I mean, look, every situation is different, but beating up your...
Just like this now. If you wasn't standing right here, when they rolled past, they probably harassed us. But they see you standing right here with a microphone, they said, we now you're going to take a chance to stop right there. Like, that's the only way, like, this is the only reason why we still sitting right here, because you standing right here. If you wasn't standing right here, we wouldn't be sitting right here.
And do you think that would have led to an arrest or just at an uncomfortable situation?
An arrest. Yeah. Basically, that's what it would have led to, us being arrest. And as you can see, this whole, like, we was born and raised in this area right here. Like, a lot of us. And half of the police over there know it, because they didn't watch us come from kids to grown men now. And they know this where we from. That's all we know. Why are y'all still harassing us? Y'all know we was born and raised in this area. And y'all watched us grow up around here. As we was kids, we used to look. Now, y'all, we saying when y'all first came on the force, when y'all was cadets, to now y'all homicide detectives, y'all sergeants, lieutenants, y'all done watch us raise up, and we done watch y'all go up in rank. So why y'all still harassing us and y'all know this is our neighborhood?
And is that, at the end of the day, the message is you're not supposed to be here, even though you lived here maybe even your whole life?
Yeah, they're basically saying they don't care.
I done saw them lock elderly people up for sitting on their friends or fuss with them. How can somebody 60, 70, if you live around here, period, you should be able to sit anywhere and go. United States, we're willing to go anywhere. It's a freedom. It's free. You should be able to go anywhere.
Right. I get 50 years old. I'm sitting on my step. I got my grandkids around. My grandkids can't run up and down the street because all of them can't fit on my steps. Basically, they saying when we outside on somebody's front, they want, when they come by, if we can't fit on the step, we gotta leave. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. But we pay rent for all, when we pay rent, like, you can have whoever you want on your front. Why it gotta be a certain amount of people, a certain number of people on your front? Like, that's crazy. I never heard of that. Whereas though, you can't have a certain amount of people on your front.
Is there a sense that there are, you know, rules that are essentially sort of made up and applied arbitrarily just because it's a community?
Rules up as they go. They making their own rules up.
That's like one time I was down Six Flags and we got pulled over by some officers, and the answer was, we ever got arrested? And we said loitering. They looked at us like, loitering? What is that? So now I'm looking like, I feel like that's only applied in Baltimore. Loitering, like, what is it? So I guess then they make their own laws, zero tolerance and things of that nature, and just run with.
If we break laws, they saying why they can't break the law too. Because they bend a lot of laws that they don't supposed to do and get away with it. And they let them get away with it. And that's not fair. So that's what that's telling us to do. Break them even more, because they breaking them, why we can't break them. Like, that's crazy. And then if we flop them down the street, they going to pull us over, give us tickets and all this. They flop them down the street all day, ain't going nowhere. They ain't going on a call. They just flying up and down the street. They get mad, they don't want to set the light too long. They going to put the siren on, stop traffic, just to come across the street. Yeah. Everybody else got to set the light. Why you can't set the light? Just because you're an officer, you're going to turn your siren on, stop traffic, just to come across the street.
I mean, does it just feel like that they can essentially get away with whatever they want?
They get away whatever they want. Flying up and down the street, where you going at? Nowhere. You're not even on a call, just flying up and down the street. Like, that's crazy. But as soon as somebody else do it, they pulling them over, giving them tickets, searching their car, getting them sitting on the ground, like, crazy. And they turn around and see them do it.
That's like one time I got pulled over by an officer with my daughter, 9 years old. And I believe it was undercover police or two cars. They jumped out the vehicle, all on with their guns pulled, with a 9-year old. I was pissed. I was pissed, cussed them out, because wish she would have made a slight movement. They'd have shot my car and killed both of them.
You have two daughters, right?
Yes, I do.
Do you have a son as well?
My daughter's son.
Do you worry about his safety vis-a-vis police?
I worry. it's sad to say I worry about his safety more than my daughter's, because I know it's hard coming up in Baltimore as a black African American male. Lack of opportunities, lack of, so I'm just working my tail off now to provide a better life for them. It's not about me no more. So I'm just trying to work, and not just about my kids, just kids in general, all over Baltimore. We just got to come together. We see a problem, we just got to stick together, make some solutions, and get it moving.
And then, I mean, you mentioned your kids earlier, and your father as well. Can you speak a little bit about being a father in Baltimore and the strategies you have to employ to keep your children safe?
First of all, I feel like to even have entertainment with your kids, you have to take them out of Baltimore. There's no recreation. It's basketball courts here and there. It's hard. So it's like the kids, I don't believe in letting my kids, social media or TV, raise our kids. But now the world is so destructive. It's like cell phones. When we was coming, we had a cell phone. We came outside, we know how to make fun. We know how to make fun, skate, run up and down the street. Now it's like they want the technology to raise our kids. And I feel like we gotta be more aware of it, because if TV and video games raising our kids, they're not gonna be educated, and this is a pattern that's gonna pass down to the next generation after them.
So you feel like a key is to be engaged and to not let them sort of be on their own and you know, getting into the inevitable trouble kids get into.
You gotta watch your kids outside now. Like back then, you come outside, the whole neighborhood gonna watch your child. Everybody gonna know where your child at. Everybody gonna speak up for your child. Like the run from now, you gotta watch your child at every second around here now. Like every second you gotta watch your child. Like that, and that said, like, you only want your child outside for real.
The violence. Innocent kids get shot. It's just sad. And now I feel like there's no such thing as hell. I
just want to know why they took the recreations away from our communities. And what reason? Like, y'all want our young black kids to go to jail, to come up, and stuff like this. Because if y'all didn't, y'all would have them recreations still there. And guess where them kids would be at all day? In that recreation.
And I feel as though they say after you die, you be having a hell. I believe there's no such thing as hell. I feel like we living in hell in Baltimore. And for Sheila Dixon, if you run for mayor and be reelected, I would like for you to come out and get our input in Sandtown, not just in Sandtown, in each community, see what you can do. The people are going to support you, but we need your support as well. We need your help. So if you get reelected, just come out and talk to us. My name is Keith Figgs, and you can get in contact with me and do the Afro paper.
I really appreciate your thoughts, guys. I really do. Did you want to give a name, sir?
James Williams.
Okay. Regular spelling.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Excellent. I really appreciate it.